Again, thank you for being here. Should be able to get you out of here in time to keep your vehicles from being towed, hopefully. If not, just start marching out while I'm still preaching to go out there and move your cars. I guess the best thing. Which goes along with our lesson today. Even though we have a right to park on the street, we would transgress, we would violate law, according to what they've told us, if we keep our vehicles parked out there past noon. As a result of that, we'd suffer the consequences of it. They have warned us, they have told us, and certainly through the years they've worked well. And last year wasn't so smooth, but this year is going very smooth, and we're thankful for that. But it just shows us that there's boundaries. There's things that we need to do. There's ways we need to make sure that we do whatever God says. We talked about this, and we can understand that we need to know that the way of a transgressor is hard. We discussed that way of transgressors in the first lesson and how basically we need to follow what God says. And I just think sometimes that as Christians we think it's those people out there, and unfortunately we see it if we don't watch it in the Lord's church, because think about it, originally there was only the Lord's church. Now look, how many groups are out there doing what they want to do the way they want to do it? So are we the Lord's group or not? That's what we need to constantly check on and make sure that we're only doing it the way we're instructed to do it. There are boundaries, and they're always set to keep us safe. God set those boundaries. He knew what we needed, and He set them, and it's all for our safety, to keep us away from the evil one. Christ is the one we follow, as we found out. He's the one that is in charge. He's the one that has set these boundaries, we found out from God's Word. So we're going to look at some warnings and consequences of getting outside the boundaries God has set. Ever seen that sign before? I've seen it a few times. But what if that sign wasn't there? Is it still okay for me to get on other people's property and do what I want to do? Roger shakes his head no. Is it okay for me to go hunt somewhere without getting permission? And Roger says, no, he's still shaking his head no back there. What if there's no signs up there? What if it doesn't say no hunting? Well, obviously then if it doesn't say it, it's right. No, there's more to law than just seeing a sign out there. And that's what we have to be very careful of. And that's where we fall short, I think, so many times in understanding the will of God. We think, well, there's no warning out there. He didn't say, do not do this. Well, if He didn't say to do it, He said, don't do it. That's basically the way it is. If He said some things about that manna, and Christ used it in the New Testament talking about Himself making bread out of stone, we can see that's a principle that applied to a lot of things. Not just the manna that came down out of heaven. So we have to totally understand law as best we can. I'm going to tell you something. Everyone in this room has violated the laws of this nation or the state or the city or the township or wherever you live one time or another. You know why you did? Well, you can say, well, I never deliberately did it. That may be true. You may have never deliberately, which I even doubt that one. But there's laws we don't even know anything about. How many of you at home keep the law book? How many of you at home have the laws of the village of Waynesville? Oh, Cody says he doesn't have those. Well, you could be in trouble. Because you don't know all the laws, do you? Do you know there's still laws on the books in some places about spitting? Do you know there's still laws on the books about hitching your horse to certain things? They haven't taken a lot of these laws away. I don't know what they are. Have you ever driven along and didn't know the speed limit changed? You violated it. You transgressed. When we're talking about the boundaries that are set, there are boundaries always set, and we have to be very careful. Can I know all of those things? No. I can tell you right now, the Congress of the United States can change laws fast. I don't know how anybody can keep up with them, let alone know all of them. And Cody will tell you that the good thing is that tax law is so simple. He has absolutely no problem with it. I don't know why he's grinning back there. The truth is on this, it's complicated. It's complicated. It's hard. And that's another reason we're supposed to obey the laws of land. That's why we ask God's forgiveness, because it's very difficult. I don't even know all the laws that I'm supposed to be following. But I can tell you one thing. I know what God said about following the laws of the land. You know why? Because it's simple. He put it in there and He said what to do. You see, God's law is readable. It's understandable, and we need to do it. So, you see that warning? So what's our warnings? Do not trespass. Do not transgress. Do not go over. We better not be moving property stakes. I'll tell you, you can get some neighbors get pretty upset about that. Property down in Baxter, Tennessee. The neighbors moved the property stakes. They decided they wanted some of my parents' property. And they just moved it over. And when the survey was done, well, they were like, you know, a few feet over, but they wanted that property. Did they pay for it? No. Did not. You know, when it was brought to their attention, you think, how do you think they reacted to that? Very nice, right? They said, oh, we're so sorry. No, they did not. They got very upset that it was pointed out to them that they had taken some property that didn't belong to them. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that the way we react to God? What? You're talking to me? You say, I can't do this or that? Deuteronomy 19:14, he says, you shall not remove your neighbor's landmark, which the men of old have set, in your inheritance, which you will inherit in the land that the Lord your God will be giving you to possess. And you remember when Joshua went in, we talked about that. They set up landmarks. They set up standards. And you didn't move those. When that stone was there, it meant it was yours. We don't remove God's either. In Proverbs 22:28, do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. And then over in 23:10, do not remove the ancient landmark nor enter the fields of the fatherless. He's saying that because those were set and because God said that, they had no right to even move earthly landmarks. No right. You don't remove them. Why was it wrong for them to do it? Because they determined it was wrong to do it? No, because God said it was wrong to do it. If God didn't say that, then it was not wrong. But if we remove God's spiritual ones, we're in some serious trouble. Matter of fact, we're always going to answer to Him. Over in Hosea chapter 5. In a judgment on Israel, this is what He says. The princes of Judah are like those who remove a landmark. We've just been talking about that, and what He's talking about is those areas that were designated like we showed a property platted today. And we went over, and Mike was involved in this, as well as Mike Garrett, in going over and redoing all of the landmarks, or all of the property stakes, as we call them today, around that property over there. Why did we do that? Well, because we could easily transgress. We could easily violate law by doing something we weren't supposed to do over there. Where you can build, how you can build, where it has to be on the property line, how it goes to the water main, how everything works. You have to get approval for all that. We know that. Well, why wouldn't we understand that with God? He says, what will happen? Well, I will pour out my wrath on them like water. Now, there's a big difference. You know what they would do to us if we violated it over there? They'd probably make us remove it or do something or fine us. A little bit different with God. He will pour His wrath on those that would remove the landmarks, those spiritual landmarks. In the New Testament, in Galatians 1, how serious is this? Under this law. No different? Absolutely no different. Again, nothing has changed from the old as far as doing God's will. If they gave a law, if He gave a law there, you followed it. If He gives a law in the New Testament, you follow it. This is it. But if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. In verse 8, as we said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel unto you than that which I preach, let him be accursed. So you have every right to question what I preach. If you think I've preached something wrong, then you need to tell me. I can twist scriptures. I can change things. It's easy for me to do. You need to say that's not correct. Accursed, that is anathema. That is total separation from God. That is not in God's grace anymore. That's how God takes this very serious. He's not just giving these because, well, this is the way I want it. He's giving them because it's good for us and it's best for us. We will be judged clearly by the boundaries of Christ's words. Christ's words determined everything. The Holy Spirit would bring those same words. He would deliver them. They would be written down. And that's what they had. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has one that judges him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Then we need to think about what we do. What if we decide, well, I would love to have some instrumental music in the assembly. Wouldn't it sound really good? And I get up and I preach that, and what will you say? Well, yeah, that'd be okay, Abe. Not a problem. I don't think you would say that. You'd say, Abe, whoa, where's the authority for that? And I would say, well, in the Old Testament, I think David said it was okay. And you'd say, well, wait, is that Christ's words? And I'd say, well, that was Christ's words back then. I mean, certainly he had something to do with... Does all that sound logical to you? No, not from what we have in the New Testament. We have to be very careful how we try to do things with Christ's words. I've heard people twist Christ's words around. I've heard them, as for instance, Peter said in 2 Peter 3, that they would take Christ's words that Paul preached and they would twist them to their own destruction because they wanted to do certain things. And I'm hearing people now condoning just about everything. Christians condoning things that I never dreamed they would. We don't approve even of those that would transgress. So if I transgress and if I'm not teaching God's Word, let me tell you what it says about that. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, he says. And he comes down to verse 10 and he says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine. What doctrine? Christ's doctrine. Do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deed. The whole idea of this, you just don't receive what they have to say or greet them in the sense of approving of what they have to say. Does this mean I can't have a study in my house with someone that I don't agree with? Oh, absolutely not. But if I have a false teacher, and I know they're a false teacher, and we've discussed this before, and we've gone over it, and we cannot agree on the subject matter because they will not preach it according to God's Word, then I do not accept them socially into my house and socially do things with them because I'm condoning what they're doing. That's what he's talking about. I do in no way. Has anyone ever come up to you and said, well, bless you, brother, for what you're doing, and you're very tempted to say to them back, even though that they're not teaching anything right according to God's Word, you almost want to say that back to them in the sense of, well, I hope you... It's a thing we have to be very careful with. In no way should we let them know that we condone what they're doing. Even those, he says, that have a form of godliness. Even those who seem to be not so bad. But let me read this passage of Scripture and tell me if you think this is not so bad. In 2 Timothy 3, 1-7. See if this doesn't remind you of today. I'm going to go over some of these sins as I read them. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. These are the boundaries. For men will be lovers of themselves. What's wrong with being a lover of yourself? What's wrong with being a selfish person? Wouldn't that be a great thing? God set that boundary. No. How about lovers of money? Well, that should be okay, right? I mean, we live in a society where money is very important. I need the money. No, that's not okay. Boasters. Well, can I compliment? Well, of course. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about the fact that you don't pat yourself on the back. Who are you anyway? Proud goes along with that. Blasphemers. Man, we're living in a time when even Christians blaspheme God. They use language that should not about God. They make Him as if He's nothing in their language. I get so sick and tired of hearing it. I mean, sometimes I just flip channels because I can't find someone that will not misuse the name of God. Disobedient to parents, and I know there's more to blasphemy than that, but disobedient to parents. Wow, you ever seen a time like this? Well, yeah, you have, because you studied the Bible and you know there's times like this. It's always been times like this. But we look out there and it's unthankful. Is that a sin? You mean there's something wrong with being unthankful? First thing we should do is show gratitude toward God, be grateful for what we have. Unholy. Be holy as even I am holy, says the Lord. Well, you think about that. holiness. It's straightening out your life. It's keeping it as pure as you can. Unloving. Wow, we see that today, don't we? We see people just taking people alive as if it's nothing. Killing people. Killing innocent babies in the womb. And no problem. They've got all this, but they're unloving when they do that. The one they're loving is self. That's all they promote when they say things like that. Have you ever noticed that? It's my body. I'll do with it what I want to do. Unforgiving. Just absolutely would not have a forgiving attitude toward others. Slanderers. Talk about others. Without self-control. Can't control what I'm doing. I just want to do what I want to. Brutal. See that? Despisers of good. Traitors. Headstrong. Haughty. Got an attitude. I'm better than everybody else. I am that perfect person. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And he's not talking about people of the world. He says, having a form of godliness but denying its power. You know why I preach to you? Well, I get a chance on other occasions to preach to people outside. And I hope people listen to it on the internet. But the truth is, I'm responsible for edifying this local group when we're together. I'm responsible for warning us to be careful. God set the boundaries. I'm responsible for making sure we stay straight regardless of what's going on the outside. I cannot change them unless I'm talking to them somewhere else and I talk to them, you know, the same way. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. There is no God. Or, there is a God, but I'll do what I want to do. And from such people, turn away. For out of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. He's not talking about people that would consider themselves people of the world. He's talking about people who believe that they're doing right. From such people, turn away. You ever seen that one? No trespassing. Violators will be shot and survivors will be shot again. Now, that's pretty serious. That's a pretty serious sign, even though it's funny. Because I'm going to tell you what. If I believe that person to do that, I don't believe I'd be stepping on their property. I believe they're very serious. They're telling me now that's going beyond no trespassing. They're telling me now that there's consequences to me transgressing. They're telling me that if I violate the law they've set for their property, they will kill me. Now, if that's true, you think I really want to stick my foot 1 inch over on their property and stick my tongue out at them? If you've got a person like that and they're serious, you don't do it, right? You understand. We understand that. What is it we don't understand about God? The consequences. All trespassers will be shot. 2 John 9. Whoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. You mean that I cannot go just this far beyond God's will? You mean that's it? That's what he's saying. I can't go beyond. I cannot do anything other than that boundary. I might think I can. I might say I'm going to do it, but whoever transgresses, whoever goes beyond and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Not very serious, is it? You want to stick your foot over just a little bit? Anybody in here tempted now with God to do that? I'm not. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. Which one would you rather have? I think I would rather have the Father and the Son on my side. I don't think I'd really want to violate. You see, the way of a transgressor is hard, he said. It is hard. It's difficult. The way of the unfaithful is difficult. They went beyond the boundaries. Why is it difficult? Well, didn't we say that it's for our good? Didn't we say that we can from, you know, Romans 12, 1 and 2, that we can prove what is that good and perfect will of God? That we can live our lives and show it? Don't we know that? There's just no way to know what's the right thing to do. Let me ask you a question. Let's just open it up. So if marriage is not between a man and a woman, and there's not a boundary there for life, let's move it. Let's move it just a wee bit. And let's say it's not for just a man and a woman, it's for a man and two women. That's just a little. Not a big deal, right? Or let's say it's just a woman and two men. Not bad. Or let's say it's two men. Or let's say it's two women. Or let's say it's a man and his pet. We can just go all things. And there's people that actually want to marry their pets. It's nuts. I mean, of course, I think there's something terribly wrong with all of these people. Because once you've gone outside the boundaries, let me ask you a question. If you condone anything other than what God said, any one of those things I said, how can you not condone them all? How can you place a boundary there if you don't believe there's boundaries? Some even believe adults and children. And they have done it in the past. And don't think they haven't. And some religious groups condone that. It's a scary thing. But once we change the boundary, the way is hard. Because there is no boundary stakes. There's not anything you can set. There's no one thing you can say about it. And I will tell you something. You may get by with it in this life. You may be able to do what you want to do. And I may be able to do what I want to do in this life. But behold the goodness in Romans 11:22 and severity of God. How would I know, reading the New Testament, I might not know so much about the severity of God, but boy, I'll tell you what. If you don't think the severity of God is there and was there, read the Old Testament. Sometimes immediate. But it wasn't so important that you remember that first sign? If you step over it, I'll kill you. God did. In the New Testament with Ananias and Sapphira, He did. He killed them. But that's not the worst part. That's not the worst part. There's this utterly being destroyed. You remember when we read about Christ in Acts 3? You remember that any who would not obey Him would be utterly destroyed from among the people? There's an utter destruction that goes on. Oh, it's not end point. It's not the fact that you just die and you're dead all over. It'll be just like He judged the angels in 2 Peter 2. In talking about the judgment of the angels and in talking about the judgment that He did with Sodom and Gomorrah and the flood, He says this, "For God did not spare the angels who sinned, who didn't stay within the boundaries that He gave them." I don't know what boundaries He gave angels. I might know some of them, but I can tell you one thing. I do know this about the boundaries. If God said, "Angels, these are your boundaries," and they went outside of them, I can tell you what He did. Cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. But what about humans? "And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. Turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example of those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed with the filthy conduct of the wicked." So we see both sides of God here. Some people tried to obey. Wow, a whole bunch of them, right? Eight out of a total population, whatever the world was. How many angels? I don't know. How many angels didn't follow God? I don't know. But it's letting us know that beings of free will can get outside those boundaries. And they'll be eternally, just like these angels, eternally punished. Not like stepping over the line and getting shot. Not like you survive and He shoots you again. The difference with God is, when He does it, there will be no survivors. There is no second chance. There is no hope of coming back after you've left this life. If you did not leave this life in the proper way. Flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, in verse 8, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't sound to me like they violated anything. Here's the problem, and I want to make this clear to anyone in this room that's not a Christian. The boundaries that I talked about, if you're not a Christian, you're way over here. You're not even in those boundaries to even start. You're not even trying to get inside to see what you need to do. Would not obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. You want to be separated from God eternally? Abe, he said, first of all, don't even acknowledge God. And second of all, even if you do acknowledge Him, don't accept what Jesus Christ brought. That'll do it for you. If in this life we understand the warnings and consequences, if we understand that we better stick within these boundaries that God has set, if we understand, just like Roger said, that we have the unleavened bread and the pure grape juice to represent the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, just exactly like He said, then we've done right. But what if we choose not to do that? Or what if we choose to add to it? Or what if we choose to substitute something? We're outside the boundaries. Oh, we might think it's only just my fingernail out. You see, we don't think it's all that bad. Well, I can tell you right now, go back and read the Old Testament if you don't think it's bad. And then read the things in the New Testament when they didn't follow Christ's law. If we fully understand those warnings and consequences, doing exactly what we've been instructed to do, exactly the way He said it, exactly when He says it, then we'll do it. Are you today, and am I ready to face the consequences of not obeying Christ? Am I ready to meet Him? We're going to stand and sing a song. If you have any needs, we'd be glad to assist you. Would you please stand?